Good morning. It's good to see everyone. Another blessed day to be able to worship our God in spirit and in truth. We've been talking about being the church. And the significance of that is we look at the scriptures that teach us that the church was in God's mind since the foundation of the world. And so as we have seen thus far in our series, we've talked about how it was prophesied in the Old Testament. Daniel prophesied the church, about the church's existence, about that kingdom that will never be destroyed. We also talked about how in Matthew chapter 16, Peter making the good confession of Jesus being the Christ, the Lord. And Jesus says, on that I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And then we talked about how in Acts chapter 2, that keys that Peter utilized was the gospel message on the day of Pentecost. And those that were there received the message, repented, and were baptized, having forgiveness of their, being forgiven of their sins, and given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We saw that the church was unified and the fact that Jesus prayed that we would be unified. Today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. If you have your Bibles handy, we are going to read this morning. And for those of you that don't have your Bibles handy, we also have it, I think, on the thing too, don't we? Yep. So Ephesians chapter 4. And the reason I put it up there, because there's certain things that obviously we're gonna talk about, and I want us to be able to see it. So, beginning of verse 11, Paul writes, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Paul writes, we see a lot of reference to the church as Paul writes to Ephesus. Of course, we see it a lot in Colossians, and we see it a lot in Philippians, and we see it a lot in Galatians, we see it a lot in 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and every single one we see it. The church is a vital part of God's overall kingdom. And when I say that, what I mean is we, the church, not the building, we, the church, have a responsibility in the kingdom of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul isn't giving a strategy. Paul is revealing a design. He's revealing Christ's design for growing his church. You know, there have been a lot of study on church growth over the years. And one of those studies that we read about, several of the studies talk about how, you know, church growth happens through, you know, not through programs. Like if you have a lot of programs, a lot of things going on, you're going to get people to come in. If you have lots of events, you're going to get people to come in. But Paul shows that Jesus grows his church in a different way. And so we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to see five different aspects of the church in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. When we talk about the church, so the church was never thought or was never in the mind of God meant to be a spectator sport. And yet, we see in a lot of religious bodies, religious groups, where it is, in fact, becoming more spectator. When you get more entertainment-oriented, I believe it becomes more spectator. But when we look at what the Bible says, it shows us it's completely different. Every believer has a role in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, Paul said there, now you are the body of Christ. You. You're the body of Christ. And members individually. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Peter writes, and each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Every person has a role. Every member in the body of Christ has a role. So the question then becomes, how does God equip his church for work? Number one, Christ gives leaders. Verse 11, notice the emphasis on he gave. Now, we didn't read the verses leading up to verses 11 through 16, but it specifically points out that that is referring to Jesus. Jesus gave leaders to the church. He gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, which were very important. He gave evangelists. He gave shepherds. Yours might say shepherds. It might say pastors. It's both referring to the same group of people. And teachers. These are all given for a very specific purpose. But the emphasis is on the he. Whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. He built the church. Christ gave leaders to his church. And these leaders aren't celebrities. They're not special spokesmen. They're not executives. You see that in a lot of church organizations where you have executives. These leaders are Christ's provision for care. These leaders are Christ's provision for the teaching in the Word of God. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, where he says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's the leaders. The leaders have the same abilities that the rest of the church. It doesn't make them more and better. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's all for the profit of all. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 again, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's his. Paul mentions, again, shepherds and teachers, or pastors and teachers, showing that shepherds, or rather, those shepherds utilize God's word to teach his people. In Acts chapter 20, you remember what happened in Acts chapter 20? Acts chapter 20, Paul tells, or rather warns, the Ephesian elders to beware, to watch over the flock. We talk about the church. Watch over the flock that God, or rather the Holy Spirit, had made them overseers. In 1 Peter chapter 5, this one I want to look at, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. I don't know, I don't have this one up there. 1 Peter 5, beginning of verse 2. Notice how Peter talks about the shepherds. The elders. The pastors. See, the world, when I say the world, I'm talking about the religious aspects of the world. Many of the those out there in the world refer to pastors as the preacher. But that's not what the Bible refers to as pastors. Pastors are the elders, because it's the same word as shepherds. So, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Overseers is another word that is often used to talk about the elders. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. The church is entrusted to the leaders. Jesus gave the leaders for a very important purpose, which we're going to get to. But how? Look what he says. But being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So a very similar thing of what Paul told the elders in Acts chapter 20, Peter says a very similar thing here, that it is their job to watch the flock, to take care of the flock, to be examples to the flock. You think of a real life shepherd with sheep. The shepherd doesn't exist to be recognized. The shepherd exists to feed, to guide the sheep, to protect the sheep. Without the shepherd, the sheep wander. They suffer. And ultimately, every shepherd reflects the heart of God himself. Look over, I think this one's up there, Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. He says, I'm going to search. I myself am looking for them. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they are scattered on a cloudy and dark day. God says, I'm going to look for them. I'm going to keep searching after them. No matter where they are, I'm going to seek them out. That's when we look at God. That's who we see. We see him being that shepherd. Jesus in the New Testament is the great shepherd. Leaders are to take care of God's flock. Jesus gave leaders. But why does Christ give these leaders? Verse 12. Back in Ephesians chapter 4. So he gave leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the equipping of the saints. Leaders equip the church. Now the word equip, if you look it up, the word equip means to prepare. It means to restore something. It means to make something ready to use. That's equip. It was used in the Greek times. It was used as fishermen mending nets. Because, you know, as a lot of times happen, they use the nets and they cast them out there. But oftentimes what would happen is the nets would stretch and they would get rips and they would get tears in them. And so fishermen had to fix their nets. That's this word. It's the mending of nets. It's equipping. Or look at it as this. It's the setting. It was utilized it's the setting of the bone. So if you break a bone, equip. It's to set the bone. Leaders are not called to do all the ministry themselves. Now, they are members of the body. They are members of the church, so they themselves are called to serve. But they are not called to serve all on an island. Their role is to prepare the church so that the church can serve effectively. So that they can do that which God has prepared. Imagine a fisherman going out into a lake with torn nets. They might be able to row better or row harder, or, you know, during a storm, or they might be able to cast farther, but if they throw a net out there and they haven't repaired it, the fish are going to climb or swim right through the holes. That's what leaders do. Leaders mend those holes. They prepare. They strengthen so that the church can function. The leaders are not the fishermen out there doing all the work by themselves, catching all the fish. They are helping to prepare the nets so that we all can do that. You hear the phrase being fisher of men? We all have that responsibility. We are all to do that. But he goes on, he says, the latter part of verse 12, this is our third point. We're to be equipped, but for a specific purpose. The saints, rather, the members of the church, the body of Christ, are equipped to serve. That's what we do. He says, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up, depending on your translation, of the body of Christ. Ministry means service. A lot of times, you know, people refer to, again, someone who is a minister is the leader. He's like over everyone. No. Paul would say, don't I have sin just like you? Mm-hmm. There is none righteous, not even one. It's not a title. It's action. That's what ministry is. Every single person in the body of Christ is called to contribute. There is no exception. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Paul says to the church at Rome, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are that one body. So Paul reminds us that we have different functions. And as having different functions, we're all necessary. Remember a couple weeks back, or maybe it was last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we talked about that. And we went through the verses 12 all the way through 22, and we talked about how Paul teaches that every single part is necessary. Within that section, he gives the idea that there are some who say, well, you know, because I'm not an eye, I'm not important. Because I'm not a very important part of the body, I don't matter. Paul says, no, you absolutely do matter. And then the next argument is, others within the body. Oh, and say, well, because you're not an eye, you're not a part of the body. No one can say that. You can't say that you don't belong, and they can't say that you don't belong. Why? Because in that context, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, God has placed you in the body just as he pleased. God put you here. God put us in the body of Christ. And according to passages like Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, where it talks about how we are to bear one another's burdens. This is where a lot of churches misunderstand God's design, because leaders are meant to equip. The church is meant to minister. Flip that around. Think about the human body. If one of your parts, if one of your pieces refuses to function, what happens to the rest? It overcompensates. And eventually the whole body suffers. The whole body wears down. But when each part functions, the body thrives. The body grows. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, he says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another in the body. As members of that body, we have to care. We have to serve one another." Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 tells us, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints." And do minister. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God's not going to forget what we do. He's not going to forget the things that we do in serving his people and serving one another. And so, what does the saint serving produce? What does that ministry produce? Verses 13 through 15 of our text in Ephesians chapter 4 tells us the body matures. We go from being, you know, he gives the example of being tossed by the wind, tossed by the waves. Let's look at verse 13. He says, "Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So if you look at all of those phrases that he gives there, they're almost like a building up to a point, but they all point back to the same thing. The exception obviously is the end result, being full of Christ. Our goal is being Christ-like. And if every single member of the body of Christ is being Christ-like, we're growing. That's his point. If we're all moving in that direction, we are going to mature. Paul contrasts, notice verse 13 and verse 14, or rather verse 14, verse 15, he says, "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting." That's immaturity. That's being a babe in the faith. And then he says in verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." So the goal is to grow. The goal is to mature. But immature people, or immature Christians, immature members of the body can be deceived. What's the point, or what's Paul's point of how not to be deceived? Maturity. How are you mature? By the Word of God. How do you get the Word of God? Through the leaders. The leaders equip. The saints serve. How are they doing all this? It's because we're studying His Word. Maturity comes through a steady growth in truth. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says, "Him we preach, warning every man that, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ." So Paul says, "I went out and I preached for the purpose of bringing and being able to present every man perfect in Christ." He says that believers grow as they speak the truth in love. When we speak the truth in love, we grow up in all things into Him who is Christ. Truth anchors us. It keeps us firm. Think about a boat. You know, the disciples often went out into the Sea of Galilee, and there was often a storm out there. And I can imagine that, depending on where they were out there in that lake, they could drop an anchor. And the anchor would hold them firm. But if you imagine not having an anchor, where would you end up? Wherever the storm pushes you, right? So the immature in the spiritual walk can be swayed by someone teaching something that is not in the Word, that is not truth. But maturity is like that boat, stable, grounded, and able to withstand the storms of life. That, remember, Jesus gave that example in the book of Matthew. He talks about the wise man that built his house upon the rock. Why was he wise? Because he heard and did what his master said. Gives him the example of that was a person that did that. So mature believers are anchored in truth and speak the truth. Number 5, verse 16, the body grows. He goes on, he says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does it share. That's where growth truly happens. Growth doesn't come from a few people doing everything. It happens when every member fulfills their God-given role. We've already talked about how every believer has been given gifts. We're not talking about any supernatural. We're not even crossing that bridge. But God has blessed each of us in ways that we could serve the church, in ways that we can do things for people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. We learn there, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. What's the point? God gave the increase. God's the one that causes growth. When we do our work, the body grows. The body matures. The body builds itself up. Imagine a construction site. If only the foreman works and the crew watches, does any work get done? Not much. But when every worker fulfills their role, so you've got framers who come in and frame, you got electricians that come in and wire, you got plumbers who come in and plumb, you got finishers who come in and drywall and put up all the finishings and everything. That's when the structure takes place. That's exactly the way that we need to look at the spiritual form of God in the church, how He brought us all together. Gene's the plumber. I'm the electrician, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what Tori is. Paul says that church builds itself up in love when we do our part. Jesus gives us life. We supply participation. We fulfill that work. The question is, are we fulfilling it? Are we doing it? Christ's design is clear. As he put the church and as he has brought it to where we are today, he gives leaders. He equips the saints. The saints do the work of the ministry. The body matures and God gives the growth. That's the mark of a healthy church. And a healthy church is not built on spectators. It's built on servants. So the question is simple. Are you a part of the functioning body or observing? Christ has given us all gifts. Ask yourself, will I use them? Will I continue to grow with the body? Maybe you're not a member of the body. Maybe you've not been added to the church, as is talked about in the book of Acts chapter 2. Those who responded on the day of Pentecost to Peter's message, that gospel message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, were told that in order to be saved, they had to repent, meaning turn away from their sinful life and turn to God, and to be baptized for forgiveness of their sins. I didn't write it. God wrote it. And when we see that, and when we obey that, that's what Romans chapter 6 tells us, when we obey it from the heart, that's when God puts us into a saved position. That's when God puts us exactly as he desires in his church. When you think about God, when you think about this plan that he's had from the very beginning, it just completely astounds me. I can't wrap my mind around it. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that it was in God's mind from the beginning of the world that all these mysteries would be made known through the church. Don't believe me? Read it. The church has had a purpose since day one, actually before day one, in the mind of God. So tell me that you're not special to God. God has a purpose for us. There's a reason for us being here. If you have a need and would like that need known, or whether you'd like to respond to the gospel message this morning, whatever the need is, now's the time to come while we stand and sing.